Morning, church.
Morning.
Good to see you. Glad to be in the house of God today. Amen. Amen. My name is Pastor Harris. I'm the lead pastor here at First Open Bible. It's my honor today to bring God's word to you. I'm excited for what God is doing. Thank you. All these people in ministry, everything that they do, sound, tech, ministry, worship ministry, we got usher ministry, we got greeter ministry, we got kids ministry, we got youth ministry, we got all kinds of ministries that are taking place. We got cleaning ministry, taking care of God's house. It's awesome to see all the wonderful ministries and the people stepping up in them for what God is doing in their life. And I pray that they be blessed for blessing us and blessing the Lord in their ministry. Amen. Let's give them a hand for everything they do. Appreciate that. Come on, a hand. Come on, back row. I see you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. 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 Praise God. Are you ready for God's word today? This month, our new season is titled Better Necessary Endings. Whether we like it or not, endings are part of life. They're woven into every fabric of life itself, both when it goes well and when it doesn't go well. Life has season stages and phases. For there to be anything new, old things have to end. And church, sometimes it can be hard to let go. It can be hard to let go. Why is that? Because you're still holding on, aren't you? It's hard to let go sometimes of things. Growth itself demands that we move on. Without the ability to let go, we stay stuck. Some of our behaviors and our destructive patterns and practices hold us back. Endings are now not only part of life, they are a requirement for living and thriving. I'm reminded in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, it says, there's a time for everything, there's a season for every activity in the heavens. Right now, in the name of Jesus, freedom, right now, freedom, freedom and deliverance in the name of Jesus. There are old things dying and new things are coming forth right now. Freedom in the house of God. There's freedom. We pray for your love to be like liquid from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, all the way to her fingertips. Right now, may the anointing and the power and the presence of God's love change you, mold you, set you free. Worthy is the Lamb. He loves you. No matter what you've done, no matter where you come from, He loves you, not too far gone. You are here for a reason, for a purpose. God is going to set you free. This is a new day. This is a new kind of love. This is everlasting love. This is new fruit. It's coming forth in your life. God loves you. He loves you. Brokenness, the pieces God is picking up, and he's making you into a masterpiece right now. He's rebuilding the brokenness by creating something new, even better than before. Worthy, worthy, worthy. We love you. We love you, God. And you love us. It says you first loved us, and that's how we can love one another. Thank you right now. Thank you right now. Ooh. Holy Spirit, fire right now. Holy Spirit, fire, come. Hey, shut the rambo from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. I pray for the Holy Spirit fire to fall upon her right now. Ooh, burning at it. Burn it away right now. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God says you're beautiful. You're the apple of his eye. You're the apple of his eye. He's breaking the curses. He's breaking the words. He's breaking the things. What has been destroyed, God will rebuild. You're the apple of his eye. You are beloved. You are beloved. And he loves you. He loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. He loves you. Worthy, worthy. Hallelujah. Church, if you want to follow along in the notes today, feel free to get out your Bible app, YouVersion. open it up in there and go to more at the bottom and then click on events. Find First Church of the Open Bible. Click on that. You can open it up and you can click save. You could follow along today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, don't be distracted. This is just the beginning, church. He has enough love for everything, for everybody at all times. He's all places. He's omnipresent. But there's something about when he is honored that he manifests himself in a new way. And he is honored this morning. And God, I'm believing today God's going to break some stuff off. Because he wants to plant something new. Hallelujah. 2025, here we are. Church, what are you expecting God to do in and through your life this year? Have you asked the Lord for direction, confirmation, and clarity? You probably heard this saying before. Your plans will fail if you fail to plan. I think the days are over when we just wait to see what God will do. Come on. I think the days are over for the church just to sit and wait to see what God will do. We are in new days today. We're going to run after what God will do. We're going to expect what God can do, and we're going to move toward what God is doing and not just waiting to see what he will do. Apathy gone in the name of Jesus. Laziness gone in the name of Jesus. Well, I've just prayed. I prayed, brother. I prayed. Okay, then what did he tell you to do after you're done praying? Did Jesus just pray and sit around and wait for God's glory to come? Jesus prayed and then he went. That's where he got his strength. That's where he got his direction. That's where he got his word. And then he went. I want to wait upon the Lord and hear what he has to say. But then I'm going to get up and do something about it. This is a new year. New chances, new grace, new anointing, new boldness. A new direction. New clarity. New confirmation. Church, I want us to shut out the world for just a good moment here in a second and ask God what he wants to do this year. Some of us haven't even done that yet, so we're going to do it together and individually. I want us to ask him who he wants you to become, who he wants you to minister to. Because if you don't have God's plans, what kind of plans do you have? I started reading this book from Dr. Henry Cloud titled Necessary Endings. It has me really thinking and searching for a new way to approach my life, a new way to approach my responsibilities, and a new way to approach my ministry calling. I'm thankful for what God did in 2024, but I need a new perspective. I need a new understanding. I need a new goal. If I want to continue to follow God's plans, I need something new. Also, if I don't choose to embrace a necessary ending, church, I'm going to stay stuck. Will you take a moment with me right now and ask God to clear our minds, clear our hearts, so we can hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to us in this season? We need to ask him, Father, what needs to go? Father, what needs to end? Father, what do you need to prune? Let's do that now. Thank you, Jesus. Speak to us, God. We invite you. Bring a conviction to our hearts and an understanding and a direction. Hallelujah. Speak to us. God, most of us know, but we need that confirmation. We need that reminder. We need your power. May your still small voice be loud in this moment. We love you, God. I thank you for this word. May we not leave until we're changed. May we not leave until we meet with you and hear your voice. I don't want old manna. I don't want old manna. I don't want old manna. It's gross. Fresh. Fresh. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. Amen. Amen. So when I became a lead pastor, coming up on 9 years here pretty soon, was a youth pastor when I first got hired, I really struggled with people leaving the church. For whatever reason it was, some people even left and they didn't tell me. And that hurt really bad. By the way, if you've left a church and you have not talked to your pastor, I've said this to many of you before, you need to go and tell them. Why? Because they pray for you. They're accountable for you. They love you. And the least we can do is say, hey, I just want you to know God is calling me somewhere else. Right? Be mature in that relationship and do the right thing. Plus, you have to realize pastors are humans too. Sometimes people just do us dirty. It's for real. It's always good to have a conversation, even the hard ones. But I remember what it was like right when I was first a lead pastor before, about 9 years deep almost now in that. And I would spend time wondering, what did I do wrong? What have I done? What could I have done differently, or what might I have said to cause this to happen? The Holy Spirit spoke to me and corrected my thinking and my reasoning. See, I had an expectation that was formed in my mind. If they're at First Open Bible, I was to keep everyone here all the time for the end of time. If they left the church, then I was to chase them down and find them and convince them to come back. No, no, you need to come back. See, I twisted the biblical teaching of leave the 99 to find the one. I started developing a savior mentality. I thought somehow I was their only answer to find Christ. So everyone that would leave, I'd somehow thought, God, I failed you. But I didn't. The Holy Spirit spoke to me early on in my ministry, about a year, 2 years in. He said, Harris, who made you the savior? Who made you the answer to their insecurities, problems, and struggles? Harris, you own nothing and you own no one. But I have called you to steward all things. I have placed you in a position where you are to be a pastor of people's seasons. Some, those seasons will be a lifetime, and some, they may be a very short time. But I need you to do your very best while I place these souls under your watch for the time I have them there with you. That freed me, church. Absolutely freed me. I'm a pastor of people's seasons. Church, life has seasons, life has stages, life has phases, and so does ministry. Praise God for his still small voice, and at times, it becomes very loud. We can get stuck. We can fail to be better because we do not embrace necessary endings. Today may be the enemy of your tomorrow. The tomorrow that you desire may never come to pass if you do not end something that you are doing today. If nothing ends, then nothing new can begin. If you don't allow a necessary ending to occur, you will stay stuck in a season that was meant to end. Imagine this. Imagine that winter season is here to stay forever. I'd never pray for the rapture more than ever before. Anybody from Antarctica in here? Alaska. It's pretty close. Lay hands on that man. May he receive and be set free. Stick around a few months, man. There's going to be this big shiny thing in the sky. It's going to warm everything up. You're going to love it. You're going to love it. It's going to be green. But the summer going to be sticky. Sticky icky. Welcome to the Midwest. Hallelujah. Can you imagine being stuck in that first job, in that first position that you ever had? Paper plastic. Can I take that out for you? I actually love that job. It was really fun. I met so many people. As you know me, I love to meet people. It was so fun. Imagine this season or working the profession that you thought you would work when you were at the age of 10. Look, we're all astronauts. Hallelujah. Veterinarians, doctors, and astronauts. That's all we got, right? Praise God. Can you imagine if you married your first crush that you had in grade school? They still saying paper or plastic. Hey, come on now. No, you like that. You know you didn't. Can you imagine having the same haircut or the same style that you did 30 years ago? Some of you can. Okay. Oh. Hey. No, because the 90s are coming back. That's what I meant. Finally, that haircut's cool again. Praise God. Okay, moving on. Can you imagine being stuck in your first spiritual season? Stuck only understanding what you knew about Jesus from that first day that you met him? Church, we are not meant to stay stuck. We are called to move forward. We are called to be better. May I have a drink of water? I drank all mine. Thanks, Bubby. Appreciate that. We're called to press forward, forgetting the things that lie behind. Press forward to receive the prize. Forgetting the former life, forgetting the former things. To press toward what God has in store for us today. So one day we can receive the prize. Anybody ever wonder what that prize is? I got my own thoughts. I think there's a lot. Hey, buddy, you want to come on up? You want to preach? This is my son, Hudson. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate you. That's very kind. Amen. Now don't judge my son because of me, okay? I mean, he looks exactly like me. I asked my wife, I was like, are you sure he's mine? Are you sure? Somebody liked it. A little late to the party, but you liked it. Okay. Hallelujah. That's better. We're not called to stay stuck. We're called to be better and move forward. See, without the ability to move on, people stay stuck. They do. When people stay stuck, they never become who they were meant to be. They never accomplish all their talents, abilities, and callings that God gave them to do. They never step into it. At some point, infancy needs to end and toddlerhood needs to begin. Ooh. At some point, childhood must end and adulthood must begin. It's time to show up, grow up, and move forward in church. That time is now. Amen. Hallelujah. Getting to the next season, the next step, and the next level requires ending something and moving on. Is anybody else tired of being comfortable in your misery? Woo. Is anybody in the house tired of being comfortable in your misery? Are you tired of medicating? I'm sorry, doctors, if you're in here. I appreciate you, especially if you're a good doctor that actually wants people to be better and feel better instead of just medicate. But I'm tired of just getting medicated. I want to be better. You know what? I want to be better so I can do better. If you want to be better, you need to know better. Come on, somebody. I better know better. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Think about it in a new light. A lot of us have read this before. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. You got to know better if you want to be better. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. See, there's a path, which means you got to start walking. Oh, that's pretty. A path. God's got a path for you. He's going to show you that path so you can be better. You got to know better. And once you know better, you better be better. And then you got to start walking. You got to start doing what he said to do. You got to start speaking the things he said to speak. I believe that this month and this year, God is going to bring forth necessary endings. I understand that a lot of people, I'm getting ahead of myself. Hold on a second. For us to get to the new level or the new tomorrow or our next step, something's got to end. You're like, Pastor, this would have been a great message for December because I'm already walking in new things. Well, maybe the reason why you're overwhelmed is you've been starting new things when you should have ended something first. Ooh, quit filling. Come on now. Quit filling your life full of good when God wants great. You can never do too many. Some people doing so many things, you never do anything good or even great. You're just kind of getting along. God is saying, say no so you can say yes to something amazing. Open up an opportunity. One of the most important decisions you're going to make this year is what you're no longer going to do. Come on. Anybody stuck in sin? Anybody stuck in a cycle? Anybody stuck just going, oh, I don't know what God has for my life? Anybody sick of that? One of the best decisions you're going to make this year is saying, I'm no longer going to do that. I'm going to make room. Come on. I'm going to make room for something better. I'm going to make room for something new. I'm going to make room for God to move. I'm going to make room for his word to come forth. I'm going to make room to step in faith. I'm going to make room to be his follower. I'm going to make room for that path. I'm going to find it. I'm going to go through it. And I'm going to walk. I'm going to get going. I can't wait for what God is about to do. But I got to say no to something so I can say yes to him. You see, God has great plans for your life. Don't miss them. This life is a test. Do you know that? Pastor, I've never been good at test taking. That's why you sat by all the smart people. I get it. Okay. That's called, right? Nikki knows us some. Life's a test. and you only get one. Who are you going to serve? What you going to do? What are you going to say? How are you going to walk in faith? How are you going to live that life that he died for? God has great plans for your life. He does. I don't want you to miss them. Many people miss them because they choose to stay stuck in your past. You choose to stay stuck in your past. You know what? You also choose to stay stuck in your present. Well, this is good enough, but it's not all that God has. Some of y'all stay stuck because you're stuck in your fears. Come on now. And some of you are stuck because you're stuck in your failures. That was 2024. That was 2023. That was 2022. That was 2021. That was 2020. This is 2025. That's over. That's done. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. All old things are gone. I am made brand new. This is a new year. Those failures are gone. He's picked me up. He's turned me around, and I'm ready to go. Jeremiah 29:11. Common verse. But listen to this. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster. To give you a present. No. A future and a hope. See, notice God wants to give you a future. So maybe it's time to let go of the past. A lot of you trying to do a new thing when you should be ending the old ones. Good morning. It's been said, some things die and some things need to be killed. Hey. I'm gonna prophetically speak for a moment. You've been waiting for that thing to die in your life, but it can't die because you keep feeding it. It's time to cut it off. It's time to kill it so you can move on. You know what it is, that sin that you keep being wrapped up in, that mindset, ooh, that mentality. You are not a victim. You're a victor. Quit falling into that. Oh, poor me. Quit feeding the things that are holding you down. It's time to cut off. It's not going to die. Because you keep, you keep feeding it under the table. Hey. You keep feeding that under the table. And God is saying, pick it up, expose it, and kill it. That's the old man. I want the new man. I want what God has for my life. And you know what? It's never going to die on its own because you keep feeding it. So it's time. It's time to put it on the table and sacrifice it. Hey. It's time to stop feeding it under the table. It's time to put it on the table and sacrifice it to the Lord. It's time to be better. Quit trying to start something new when you should be ending something old. What needs to go in your life for you to start necessary new seasons? This new season for your life. What relationships, what positions, what jobs, what duties, what behaviors, what destructive patterns, what ignored dreams, what constant excuses and bad practices are holding you back? It's time to sacrifice it for the Lord. It might be time to say goodbye. Maybe I'm the only one right now, but I'm thinking of Boyz II Men song. It's so good. It's like, say goodbye to yesterday. Woo. I don't know how that guy gets so high, but it's incredible. Don't you be judging me. I closed my eyes so I couldn't see that. ABC, BBD, East Coast Slamming. Never skipped a beat. Okay. I've lost it. It is time to say goodbye. It might be time to say yes to what God has in store by saying no to the old, saying no to the destructive, saying no to the dead things in your life. Your best yes is saying no. No to the old and yes to the new. Now, I realize that not all endings happen by our choosing. Some endings are forced upon us, like divorce, being fired or laid off, death of a loved one, a broken relationship, chronic illness, accidents, or horrible events. We do not choose these endings, they are thrust upon us. But church, if we're not well prepared for whatever type of ending that we face in life, it's going to render us broken, it's going to render us depressed, it's going to render us floundering for months or even years. Some of you are still grieving the things that God is saying, let go, let me have it, and I need you to move on. You're choosing to stay broken when God wants to heal you. It's not that you have to forget those things. You don't have to forget that somebody. You don't have to forget that terrible thing that happened. But what you need to do is forgive and release and let go so God can do a new thing in your life. Staying floundering for months and years in pain and sorrow and frustration and anger and unforgiveness. This is not the way that God intended us to live. It's not. Psalm 92 tells us in verse 12, 13, and 14, it says this, but the godly will flourish like palm trees. Oh, doesn't a palm tree sound nice right now? Right, Mr. Alaska? Come on now. Hey, I seen a picture once. Hey. But godly will flourish like palm trees and grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon. For they are transplanted to the Lord's own house. They will flourish in the courts of God. And listen to this, verse 14. Even in old age, they will still produce fruit. Even in the old age, they will remain vital and they will be green. We were created to be better. Endings were created to bring hope. Life hurts, but God heals. He's going to take you from there to here. Because every season of your life, good or bad, is intended to produce fruit. Every season of your life is to be fruitful. You're going to keep producing fruit. You're going to remain vital and green. Even if everything around you is broken and hurting and dry, you will remain with God. And you will be fruitful in every season of life. I wrote this morning, if you don't see fruit, it might be time to prune. If you don't see fruit, it might be time to replant. If you don't see fruit, you're going to need to find some new soil. Anybody brokenhearted in here, I'm going to speak to you for a moment. I'm going to prophesy to your situation. If anybody's brokenhearted, listen to me. What you reaped in tears in 2024, God is going to bring a harvest of joy in 2025. Psalm 126, 5 and 6 says this, and this is your word from the Lord today directly for you. Those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. They will weep as they go from planting their seed, but they will sing as they return with the harvest. What happened in 2024? God will redeem. He'll give you new fruit, and there'll be joy. Joy unspeakable. But how can I have joy when such terrible things have happened? It's because this is not our home. This is not our, this is, I'm just here for a moment. I got somewhere better for a lifetime, for all of eternity. I got somewhere better to go. I am looking ahead and realizing all the wonderful things God has in store for me when I'm in full glory, when I'm with Him. And right now, that is the hope that I have to get through anything. And I can have fruit knowing that everything I'm planting now, well, I'll come, if I don't see it this side of heaven, I'm going to see it in heaven. Endings are a necessity. Endings are church new beginnings. So I'm going to ask you, what about this season in your life? What about this season? What about this season? Church is a season for everything. I love what King Solomon, he wrote about. He's the most wise man. God said, hey, in his dream, he said, I'm going to give you one, you know, it's better than genie, right? But he is God, right? He said, I give you one wish. I'm going to give you one wish. What do you wish, Solomon? He says, I want wisdom. I want your wisdom. I want godly wisdom. I want the most wisdom. And whatever King Solomon writes in God's word, that's what they call Proverbs, the book of wisdom. He's the wisest man to ever walk this earth. That's what the Bible teaches us. He wrote some incredible things down 3,000 years ago. He wrote it in a book that he wrote called Ecclesiastes. In chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, this is what he wrote. For everything there's a season, a time for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to cry and a time to laugh, a time to grieve and a time to dance, and a time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to turn away, a time to search and a time to quit searching, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be quiet and a time to speak. In the last verse, he said, in verse 8, he said, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. Endings are not only part of life, they are a requirement for living. God is in the seasons. God is in the endings. God is in the beginnings. In your life, you need to be proactive to be productive. I just read the thing that started with conclusion, just so you're wondering where we're at. You're welcome. I don't know if you heard me. I want you to hear this word. In life, you need to be proactive to be productive. No one's going to live your life for you. So living in a healthy way requires that you kill off, cut off, and get rid of the mediocre, the destructive, and the dead things of life. We can do that if we follow the biblical principle that I'm going to teach you next week. I want to teach you a biblical principle next week. It's the art of pruning. See, pruning is a process of proactive endings. Here's the definition of pruning according to the internet. Amen. Ha ha ha. I know you do too. The definition of pruning is this: to trim by cutting away dead and overgrown branches or stems, especially to increase fruitfulness. Here's another definition. It says to remove the unnecessary or the unwanted parts to increase growth. Church, pruning is a verb, which means it's an action. It requires action to see production. Pruning is a central theme of what a necessary ending is all about. When pruning is not happening, average or even worse, it's going to take place. Did God create us to just survive? Did God want us just to sit around and be thankful for all the weeds in our life? All the overgrown dead parts, the diseased things, and the... Or were you created to grow and to thrive? So why aren't you? Why aren't you? Could it be because you haven't cut off or ended things that you should? Dr. Henry Cloud wrote in his book this quote, quote, "Pruning is necessary, natural, and beneficial for anything that is alive. We need pruning when things are going well, and we need it when things are not going well. Pruning is a natural part of life's seasons, and it is a requirement for growth," end quote. So before we go this morning, I want to read to you a parable that Jesus taught about pruning. And here's what I'd like you to do. I want you to think and pray and ponder this section of scripture before next Sunday. I want you to ponder it spiritually, but I don't want you just to ponder it spiritually. I also want you to ponder it practically in your life right now. What in your life needs to be trimmed up? What in your life needs to be cut off? What in your life needs to be thrown out? And what in your life needs to be pruned in 2025? John 15, 1 through 8 says this. Jesus is speaking. He says, "I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more." Come on. "You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me, and in my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples." When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. And what happens? This brings great glory to my Father. I want to read you two things. Brent, you can come, please. I read this on Facebook. Every once in a while, there's something good on Facebook. Praise God. There was this quote. It says this, "If you don't let your past die, then it won't let you live." And Cedar Rapids Hope Walk, I went with a friend of mine a couple years ago. It's a walk that we do here in Cedar Rapids to give awareness to suicide. And every once in a while, something will pop up from there because I like their page, and they wrote this week. It says this, "You don't need to carry everything you've been through. Some of it was meant to be left behind." See, when you're a preacher, almost everything you see can turn into a sermon. You're like, "Oh, I will preach that." But I wanted to talk to you this morning. We're going to have prayer teams in just a second. Some things need to die and some things need to be killed. Some of you have been carrying things in your life for far too long. And God is saying, don't bring it into this year. Do not bring it into 2025. I have something better. Some of you are struggling. You're hurting. You're broken. You're confused. Some of you are stuck. You're stuck. But today, God is going to cut those things off if you invite him to prune your life. I invite you, God, to cut out the dead things. cut out the diseased things that are killing the rest of the plant, which is me, killing the rest of it. And here's something else. Some of you are like, you know, things are going good. Things are good. Well, God wants to cut that out too. He wants to cut the good. He wants to prune the good so you can have the great. Don't settle for what God didn't say, that's it. When God didn't say, that's it, that's all of it, don't settle. I love what God is doing, but I can't wait to see what he's about to do. I don't want to miss that because I'm just stuck in pretty good. I want to go for great. I want God to prune my life. I need to sometimes lay things down. We need to stop feeding. Come on, people are stuck in sin. Stop feeding the monster under the table. Pull them out, put them on the table and say, God, this is for you, and sacrifice it. Here it is. And it's okay to say this. It's okay. I say it a lot. God, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to sacrifice this. I don't know how to kill this. I don't know how to get rid of this. See, when you come to the end of yourself, you begin with God. That's where your faith steps in. That's where his strength, when your strength ends, his strength begins. Say, God, I don't know how to move into the better. I don't know how to give you the things that I've been trying to kill, but I can't. He can do it. Let him do it. Church, will you stand, please? Prayer teams, will you come to the front? Thank you, Jesus. It's a new year. It's going to be a new me. So I can give God glory, hey? Church, will you close your eyes, please? I see some of your eyes. You didn't follow instructions. Just close your eyes. Why do we do that? You're like, Pastor, why do we close our eyes when we pray? It's because you get distracted. It never says in the Bible, close your eyes and pray. No, it's just because we're humans and we're easily distracted. So that's why I'm asking you to close your eyes. I just want you to try to take away as many distractions as possible, because right now is a holy moment with you and God. And if there's something that you want to give him in 2025, I want you to extend your hands as if you're presenting him a sacrifice. However you see fit, put it in front of him. And we're going to name it. We're going to name that thing. God, this is my failure. God, this is my insecurity. God, this is the dead thing I keep holding on to. This is a disease in my life that's weaving its way through every relationship, every mindset, and everything that I do. God, here is something that's good, but I want great. God, here I am. I present this to you. I want to cut off the old things because I want what is new for me in 2025. You deserve the glory. You deserve the glory. Father, I pray that when we sing this next song, that we're able to be honest with ourselves and honest with the Lord, and we can name what that thing is, and we can come. Church, feel free if you want to, when I'm done praying, feel free to come. It's gonna seem weird, but not everything has to make physical sense or even mental sense to be spiritually true. Your finite mind will not comprehend all the things of God. That's why his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are greater than ours. I want to just invite you. You don't have to if you don't want to. I'm inviting you. Whatever that is, I want you to name it, and I want you to walk up to the front here, and I want you to lay it at the altar and say, God, you can have it. I kill it. I sacrifice it for you because I want what you have next. I'm going to invite you to do that after I say amen. And that if there's something that you want confirmation or you want somebody to pray with you, it says we're two or more gathered, he's in the midst of us. It says when we come together with one another, you know, I can send 1,000 to flight angels, but if I pray with somebody else, 10,000 can go. That's why we have prayer teams up here. They're gonna keep things confidential. But if there's something you're struggling with, something that you want, something that you need to say, something that you want somebody just to hold your arms up and help you, they're up here this morning. I want you to lay something at the altar and then walk to them and let them pray for you. Let me pray for you now. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for necessary endings. We thank you for new beginnings. We thank you for your hope. And God, I'm the first one to lay. I lay it at the altar. It's yours. I need something new in my life. There's people here today that said, I need you, God. I am not a failure. I'm a success in Christ Jesus. I will succeed. We love you. We trust you, God. In your name, amen.